ask and interest in your prayers this morning. That the Lord will bless us here. And considering this thought that the pleasure the Lord has given to us. I believe this is a subject that, well, I know this is a subject that is something that we all need from time to time. And we come in contact with a need for it, and sometimes we need it. I want to talk about this. The word forgive, I have some definition here. Definitions from dictionaries. Forgive, the word means to give up the wish to punish or get even with. To cease to feel resentment against. To not have hard feelings at or toward. That would be person when there's been something done. Or maybe a synonym would be pardon or excuse. Also, the word, you might say, to forgive in talking about a debt. To forgive a debt, that means to give up all claim to and not demand payment for the debt. To forgive an insult is to give up the resentment of or the claim for requital. In other words, if you feel you have been insulted and you want to forgive that person of the insult, you give up any desire for compensation from that person, or you give up the desire for them to even make it right or to require an apology or something of that sort. Now, we all, from time to time, have personal offenses committed against us. Insults. Sometimes we receive insults. Sometimes we receive hurts, personal damages, and injuries. From other people. And sometimes, I guess the times that give us difficulty are when we don't perceive that God is at the heart of this, what we perceive as a personal offense or insult, hurt, or injury, or some personal damage. We feel that there is some other human being that is originating this thing toward us. And normally, it's the human reaction for us to direct our response toward that human being that we perceive to be in the midst of causing us this problem. We want to be able to forgive a person. St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," starting at the 9th verse, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And then says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." In other words, Lord, forgive me that I owe to you. Forgive me that thing. Don't require it of me. Something maybe that I cannot pay. Don't require it of me. Just like I'm willing to forgive those that require something that I require something of, and I forgive them. In other words, if I forgive them, Lord, forgive me in that same manner.
Amen.
We need forgiveness. You know, sometimes maybe you can experience this, or maybe you have. I believe quite possibly many of you have. Have you ever said to someone, "I'm sorry, please forgive me for this thing"? I know that there are situations, maybe your parents have required you to say those types of things, maybe because of something that you have done. And in down deep inside, you really, you weren't really that sorry. You weren't really that much feeling in need of this person's forgiveness. But you know, it is possible for us to feel a need for forgiveness for something that we have done to someone that has been an offense to them, or a hurt, or in some way or other caused them some injury. And then we have gone to the person and have asked forgiveness.
Yes.
Please forgive me. This is almost unimaginable, but it's possible that it could happen. After we have done that, then the party say to us, "No, I'm sorry. I won't forgive you. I'll remember that against you as long as I live." It's possible that a party would say that. And it's possible some have said it or meant it in time past. And can you imagine that after you from the depths of your heart have asked someone to forgive you, "Please forgive me for what I've done," they say something like that? Do you know how that would hurt? It would really affect you, and you'd be so sorry. You desire their forgiveness because you desire to be able to feel like your relationship with that person has been restored. You know, a personal hurt and injury that we may cause someone, do you not know that it can harm our relationship with that person?
Yes.
It causes thoughts and a disjoint, and where you have had love and a care one for another, and then this thing has happened, and then when you actually get an understanding of what you have done and what you have caused, you're sorry and you want to restore it right back to where it was, that relationship. Can you just imagine what it would be like for you to say, for you to have to accept that fact that no, this harm that you have caused in this relationship is something that this party will not allow to be restored. That from now on in the rest of your life, you have to give up that relationship based on what you did. In other words, you did something that you are now sorry for, really truly sorry for, and you have asked forgiveness, and you want it to be brought back to where it was, right back to square one, and this party says no. It'll never be brought back. Now, you can imagine that there are some things that are extremely difficult for us humans to forgive. Sometimes we could imagine a companion that has gone astray in their affections, and then the harm that has caused in that relationship, and when the party comes back and wants to be restored in that relationship, and they're asking to be forgiven for what they've done, sometimes that's a very difficult thing for a party to do. But somehow the scripture tells us to forgive. And so that is something that is almost divine. You're going to need some divine help to forgive some things in life. The scriptures are teaching us that God wants us to be able to forgive whatever. without any reserve. Just forgive. Drop it. Just let it go now and forevermore. Never to pick it up again. We know how Jesus forgave us of our sins, and it's as if he put them away. I believe it said as far as east is from the west or something like that. He forgave us our sin without a threat of remembrance.
Amen.
He, from then on forward, refuses to require that we make it right, pay it up, demand that we come through to straighten this thing up. But he just says, drop it. Well, you know what? With the sins that we have committed, there's no way that we can we could straighten it up with him.
Amen.
There is just no way. Nothing that you could do could just get rid of what you've done. It's done. And so we just ask for forgiveness. Well, he is able to forgive us.
Thank the Lord.
Praise God.
Let's see here. We want to turn now to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. And the 25th verse. It says, and when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. In other words, when you get ready to pray before the Lord and you're humbling your heart before God and you're maybe bringing thanksgiving and praise and you're bringing your requests before God, it says, if while you get ready to pray or while you're praying, something comes to mind that someone has done to you, and you are holding that party, it says here, you forgive them. When ye stand praying, it says, forgive. If ye have aught against any. And then it says, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
Amen. That's a word.
That your Father also. So we forgive. Lord, help us somehow, no matter what's done, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how embarrassing it was that someone caused us embarrassment, we forgive. That our Father, which is in heaven, may forgive us our trespasses.
Yes, thank the Lord.
But if ye do not forgive, you know, that's quite a statement here. If we do not forgive that one that hurt us, it says, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I thought the only thing that would put us in this situation where our Heavenly Father in heaven is holding us in such a way that will prevent us making it into heaven in the end of our lives, the only thing that would put us in that position before him is sin. All right? But it says here, but if you do not forgive,
amen,
neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Amen.
Now that makes it sound like this unwillingness to forgive, failure to forgive, is just like sin. Just like sin. I've been thinking about this. Lord, what is it in lack of forgiveness that makes it like this? It'll keep you out of heaven. And I got to, these thoughts have come to me. You pray for us, Neil. Now, I read you the definition of what forgive, it means to forgive, right? That is to give up the wish to punish or to get even with. Okay? That's malice. If you have a desire to punish or get even with someone for what they have done to you, that is malice. Sometimes people do things through malicious intent. They have harbored malice, and the crimes that people commit, if malicious intent can be proven, then oftentimes in the court of law, they receive more severe punishment. Because it can be proven you did this with forethought, with an understanding of what you were doing. You did it intentionally. You proceeded with a course of action that was hurtful and harmful to someone with what's called knowledge and forethought. You did it. So we are to forgive that desire to get even with someone. Then also it says to cease to feel resentment against. Don't even feel like I resent that thing. I resent that thing that person did. I just can't get over it. Every time I see him, it flashes in front of my face. Or there's some hard feelings within me. We're to forgive and get rid of that. Malice, resentment, and hard feelings.
Amen.
So why would an unwillingness to forgive be counted just almost like sin? Your Heavenly Father not being willing to forgive your trespasses because you're not forgiving some trespass that someone has done against you. Because malice is in the heart. Because there's probably some ill will. And there may be some hatred. There may be some strife. There may be contention that comes up from this thing. You can observe retaliation sometimes coming from within. Impatience. This party that caused me this hurt, this harm, this trouble, this injury, this party, I don't feel like I have the time of day to give to them. I don't have time to stop and say anything to them. If they have done, or if they at any time do anything that causes me that I have to have patience and bear with them, I just don't have it. I just don't have it. Mercilessness. Wrath and anger. Now, the scripture in Ephesians tells us, 4 and 31, that these things should be put away from us. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put these things away. So we're told to put, you know, these kind of things are works of the flesh.
Yes.
They're works of nothing but that old carnal man that's rising up from within. And when you have a lack of forgiveness for someone, do you not realize that these kinds of things are what you are then allowing to have a place in your heart? Does that sound reasonable, logical? I don't believe it is at all excessive to believe these things. So that's why God Himself will quite possibly not let you into heaven if you don't forgive. He has forgiven you just on whatever you desired. sometimes we desire forgiveness, and the Lord has just forgiven us, you know. You know what that makes you feel like when He does that? It makes you feel good and light inside. You just appreciate, oh, I'm free. He's let me go. Well, look at here in St. Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 21st verse. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. I believe Jesus intended for this to be a big number. And I believe another place said in a day. In other words, unlimited. Unreasonable. Beyond human reason. Anybody that would cause you to have to forgive them 490 times in a day, that stretches our faith.
Yeah.
It's almost like, what is it? You just want me to forgive you no matter what, whenever, however trivial, however serious, or whatever you do? Well, that's what it seems to be saying here. Forgive. Let it go. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. His kingdom of heaven is like this. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's me and you. We owe the Lord a lot. But for as much as he had not to pay, we didn't have the means to pay the debt that we owed to our Savior, to God. We don't have the means to pay it. Everything we could come up with would just be just a very paltry sum when you compare it to the sins and things that we have done that displease the Lord. We just can't come up with enough good to make up for that. You just can't do it. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, that's me and you, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. In other words, Lord, you please bear with me. I'll serve you the rest of my days without fail. Whatever you require, whatever you ask, whatever you demand of me, you have it. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. In other words, he just said, well, I'll wipe it clean. You don't owe me anything. I'll not demand it. I'll not require it of you. You can just forget about it. You don't owe me anything. That same servant, me and you, went out and found one of our fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a small debt. They had offended us, or they had hurt us, or they had caused us some personal injury. You know, that ain't nothing compared to the sins that we committed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Brother, you had better apologize to me in front of this whole congregation. And I want you to bow down on your knees and do it. And if you won't do it, I'm not going to forgive you. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I'll do it. And he said, I will not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. In other words, this man said that he would try to make it right. I'll try to make it right with you. I'll pay you that I owe you. But this man won't have patience with him. I haven't forgiven him the debt. See, I haven't forgiven him. And so whatever he does is not going to pay that debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't you have forgiven your fellow man for the sins that he did against you? Just like our Savior forgave our sins, shouldn't we have done that? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It says, from the heart, forgive not your brother the trespasses. From the heart. Down deep inside. There is a need for God's people to be able to come together, work together, and love each other. Work together as one in unity and in love. There is a need for God's people to have a feeling of love and comfort and closeness one to another. The only way that can happen, offenses are going to come. All right? You're going to rub shoulders with people, and offenses are going to come. The only way then that you can operate in love and care and compassion and being tender-hearted and loving and kind one to another is that you forgive.
Yes.
You forgive each other.
Yes.
So that you can still go along and manifest love one to another.
Praise the Lord.
Work hand in hand.
Yes.
In cooperation.
Yes.
You know, that means the Lord wants us to do that whether we've been hurt or not.
Amen.
Right, well, they're doing it. Pretty good.
We've been hurt.
Yes.
We have been hurt.
Yes.
Amen.
But you go right on anyway.
Amen.
Because you know, if you're going to make it into heaven,
yeah,
brother, you have to forgive. If you want your sins to be erased before your Father in heaven,
amen,
you can't go along with malice and ill will and hatred and anger and wrath and strife and all this stuff just inside of you. You can't go with that.
Amen.
Let go.
Oh, glory.
Lord, we want to see God's face. Please.
Amen.
People may not make heaven. People may not make heaven because they're holding things. The Lord helped me to see this about a couple of weeks ago. Just holding some for you. Should have let it go, brother. Should have let it go. Should have let it go.
Yeah.
These types of things seem like people on the outside don't seem like there's no sin involved.
Oh.
Seem like that's a good brother. I got confidence in him. You know, he's not doing anything to hurt me, harm me. He seemed to have a good attitude. He's done a lot of good things for me, for others. But Lord, have mercy. What is he harboring in his heart? Lord, have mercy. What are you harboring in the heart?
Yes. Touch me, O God.
Yes. Amen.
Turn it loose.
Yes,
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Turn it loose.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't matter.
Don't worry about
it. When you stand before the for God of heaven and earth,
yes,
you can't tell them somebody hurt me. And Lord, that's how come I've got this ill will and hatred. And no, it won't work. You don't have to stand before him in innocence. So, forgive.
Yes, Lord.
There are some imposters, some substitutes for forgiveness. sidestep the issues. Just totally sidestep the whole thing. In other words, put my mind on something else. Do you not know that the passage of time will ease the pain of some things?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Just simply the passage of time.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily mean that forgiveness has taken place. It just means that it has kind of faded back. It's not in the forefront. But it's still there.
Yes.
There is a place in the Bible, in Genesis. Yes. I want to give this to you. I know that you all know it, most of you. But some of you might not know it. And in the Bible, there was a man named Joseph, who was a young man. He was of that family that he had all these brothers, and his brothers had these different names, and his brothers ended up being, you might say, the heads of different clans or tribes of Israel, which were God's chosen people at that time. Well, he was of that family. And it seemed like this young man named Joseph was favored especially by his father. His father just seemed to just special give him some favor. And so these brothers of his, they hated him. They didn't like him. And they wanted to hurt him. They wanted to do him some harm. You know, hatred will make you do like that. And so they had their little brother. They took advantage of him. He come along and he was trying to do something, you know, to check on him or something. I guess his father had sent him out there or whatever. And they got a hold of the young boy. And as the story goes, they end up putting him in a pit. And then, we'll just sell him. So I took him up out of the pit and sold him to some other fellows that were going by. Kind of like being sold into slavery. So here was this young man. He was a young fella. He wasn't old. And he was sold. His brothers sold him.
Yeah.
Took money for him.
Yeah.
And got rid of him. And they carried him off down in there to Egypt. And he stayed there in Egypt a while. This is Genesis, about 43, 42, 43, 44, 45, and so forth. And so I would like for you to read some of this, maybe. But this young man went through something here. He ended up like as a kind of a helper in Pharaoh's house, and then which was the king, and then he ended up having an accusation brought against him by Pharaoh's wife, and then the young man ended up in prison and so forth. And then he ended up getting out of prison because some things took place, and he interpreted some dreams and wanted to give him some reward, Pharaoh did. And so, as it turns out, this young man was brought out of prison some time later. And Pharaoh set him up over as kind of a steward over a lot of the foodstuffs and things in Egypt because of the famine that was coming. And it come time that this famine affected this young man's brothers back in this other country where they came from. And they needed help to keep from starvation. And so they ended up going down to Egypt. They had heard there's food down there. And guess who they ran into? Their younger brother. They didn't recognize him. See, when they sold him into Egypt. He was a young fella, and you know when you get, when you grow up, you know, you change a lot. So they didn't recognize him. Some years had gone by. They didn't recognize him. But you know, this young man, Genesis 45th chapter and the 5th verse. This young man, he recognized his brothers. He was able to see past the hurt, the offense, the intention to do him harm. You know, a lot of times it's easier to forgive someone that has done you harm that you don't think they did it intentionally. But when you know for sure that there was malicious intent involved and they did this knowing full well what they were doing, that's harder to forgive sometimes. This young man was able to see God's hand when he was intentionally, with knowledge and forethought, hurt. He was able to see God's hand. And here's what he had to say to his brothers when they came needing food and so forth. "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." You know what? These brethren, you know, I can just imagine, they had some real anxieties when they realized who they were looking at. They had some anxieties. They didn't know how to deal with this. Last time we saw our brother, we were trying to get rid of him. Some of us meant to kill him, but I believe it was Reuben, I believe it was one, said, "No, let's take him out of the pit and let's sell him." And now here is this man that has our lives in his hand.
Yes.
He could get rid of every one of us just by saying a word. Joseph had had a lot of time to think about what was done to him. You know, he had a lot of time to think about it. Plenty of time.
Yes.
Do you know what happens to us when we think about what's been done to us that's been bad? Do we come out of it like Joseph? Do we then see, oh, you know what? The Lord has ordered this thing. God has had his hand in it. And as for what you all were intending to do and all that, listen, I let go of that years ago. He forgave. He forgave his brothers. Over here in Acts is another case. Stephen was being stoned. Now you can read that over in Genesis. I would like, if you're not familiar with that story, go back there and read that. Genesis like 42, 3, 4, 5, something like that, 47, whatever. Go back and read that. But look over here in Acts of the Apostles in the 7th chapter. And there was a man named Stephen that was a godly man, one of the early disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he had answered before this Jewish council and told them, you might say, the whole story, brought them up to date on the story of salvation and what they had done with the Savior and so forth. And when he got through at the 54th verse, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge."
My Lord.
As the rocks were hitting him, he said that. And finally, I guess one last rock came and hit him in the head and finally just took him out. Lay not this sin to their charge. He forgave them. Now, I don't know, that seemed like a superhuman, huh? But he forgave them.
Can be done.
It's required.
Yes, it is.
According to what we read this morning, it's required.
It's true.
I don't think I said anything extra.
Amen.
You know what? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, died on a cross.
Yes.
With forgiveness in his heart for those that were putting him to death. He was able to see the hand of God, his Father. He was able to realize that God had a hand in this, and he was submitting to it. He forgave. So, I just want to leave that little message with you this morning. Realize that we need to forgive. If you want to get together and work together and love each other and be able to have show love one to another like we all want to, if that's what we want, forgive. Forgive. Quit talking about it. Quit thinking about it. See? Quit dwelling on it. Quit the hurt that's been caused. When you put a whole group of people together over the years, lots of things happen. Lots of things are said. Many times, most of the time, I'll say, because we're saints, things that are not said intentionally to hurt you. It's something that someone said, maybe without thinking. It's something maybe someone said without knowledge even of what you were going through. And they happen to say something in your hearing. And you know, sometimes some of us have said some things because maybe just because of our that harshness that maybe we need to be purged out of. Just said something, it was true, but maybe we should have said it in a little bit softer manner. With a little bit more care and carefulness. Some things maybe need to be said, but we just need to be just a little more gentle in the way we say it. But anyway, we said it, and somebody was hurt. Somebody was offended. Somebody felt that they were injured. But you know, drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Come together. Work together. Love each other. Love God with all of your heart. With everything within you. Keep right on loving God. And you know, the Lord will take us to heaven.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.